hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beating shining bright. When we are weak, hope makes us strong. September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be. When the darkness came to take our hope away, away. Hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone. Just like a heart that beats in the night, there's still a beacon shining bright. When we are waiting,
good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. We are coming to you live tonight, and we do thank you for joining us. Hope you like that song. I sure do. You know, we need to be reminded that, hey, there is hope. There is certainly hope in Christ Jesus. Well, good evening, Pastor Cox. I'm hoping you're on the line.
Yes, I am.
All right.
Good evening, Richard.
All right. Great. And I think we've got Ralph. Good evening, Ralph.
Good evening.
And welcome to the program. And guys, I'll let you know. I'll be here. I know we've got a couple callers, so I'll sure let you know when they call in. And thanks for being here tonight.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Good evening, Everett.
Good evening. How are you, Ralph?
I am living life abundantly.
Amen. I'm doing here in Oklahoma.
Yeah, we've had beautiful weather. Well, Everett, I'm going to go to the Father real quick for a word of prayer, and we'll continue with the show. Heavenly Father, we come to you in agreement and come to you in that mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ, the name that even demons bow to. All principality and all authority have to bow before it because your word proclaims it. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come as our helper, the promised helper that is laid out in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 16, that promised helper. So, Holy Spirit, help us. Help us with the show tonight. Help those that are giving the testimony. And, Lord, we do this in praise and glory for your mighty works. We forbid the enemy to operate in any way against this program tonight or against Scriptures for America or Deliverance Ministries. Lord, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. You know, there's a scripture that I like to claim a lot, Luke 12:12. which says he'll give us what to say that very hour. The Holy Spirit will give us what to say that very hour. Well, you know, when we have some meeting coming up or whatever it might be, how awesome it is that we can claim that scripture, and sure enough, the Holy Spirit always is there. So I declare that tonight, amen?
I declare it too. That Holy Spirit is, well, it's a great helper.
Amen.
I'm sure thankful because not only did Jesus promise us, he promised us it, and it would be forever.
Yes. Even though
forever.
We can get in his way, we can
yeah.
block his direction, and I think we always need to be very sensitive to allowing him lead us. Our self-will can get in the way a lot of times. The flesh does that often, you know.
Well, I can't think of any examples in my life, can you?
Amen.
A little too easy. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I got to say, one of the things I wanted to touch on tonight, we've been talking about deliverance on these windy evenings and getting free from demonic activity. One of the things we teach people that come from ministry, is, besides getting free, is how to stay free. Getting
Amen.
Free is one thing, staying free is another, and there's 8 steps that we teach to people before they leave so they can observe those. And we've seen over and over, you know, the flesh again gets in the way, and people a lot of times still will not follow them. You know how it is. But if a person will follow those steps, you can maintain your freedom. It's not that hard.
No, it's not. You know, and the one that's in there that I think I love the best and I'm a big advocate of is the I Am's.
Yes.
The I Am, declaring what you are in the Lord. And speaking of the I Am's, we at Scriptures for America do carry something called the I Am Confessional. And this is a great tool that's there available for those on the ministry. Do we give that out free of charge, Richard? I'm not, remember, I can't.
Yes. We do.
Yes.
I mean, we do a deliverance
yes.
ministry.
Yes.
So. I'm planning on bringing some to Branson as well, that bright yellow handout.
On how to stay free.
But
I knew you had that one too, and there's a lot of the same things in there. I just like ours because it's in a little booklet form and has room for you to write down some that you come up on your own that aren't in here, because certainly this is not inclusive of what we are in Christ, but it's got a good start of what we are.
Amen. So you'll have that at Branson then, praise God.
Yes, we will. That is a tool our ministry has come up with several years ago, and it's just another revelated knowledge that's in Scripture, and once we start figuring it out, we get a little smarter.
Amen. Amen. Well, we hear examples quite often of where people have not followed the steps for staying free, and sure enough, they open doors. The doors are open, therefore, for spirits to come back in. So it is an ongoing thing. I wish we didn't have to battle here on earth, but it's the way it works out.
Well, you know, a door can be opened, but in Jesus, it's very easy to shut it.
Absolutely.
Doors go both ways, and once it's shut, it is can come back open. But I kind of look at the eight steps you have there as a lock to put on that door, so it can't come back open.
Amen.
Well,
we did not meet Monday night, being the Memorial Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been busy this week. I've done 2 deliverances. I did one today. It was 3.5 hours. A woman with cancer, and sure enough, she had a lot of unforgiveness. That's the biggest of the doors for spirits of infirmity, and of course other doors. It's the door for other spirits as well. And we had really great ministry. I'm believing she's free and healed. We, of course, cast out a spirit of infirmity. I was able to get the head demon up. There was a total of 52 demons under the authority of the head demon, which was fear. And trauma was executive officer. but a total of 52 spirits. And among those was the spirit of infirmity. So, just as Jesus cast the spirit of infirmity out in Luke 13, we are to do the same works of Jesus, John 14:12. So we can speak to it directly, commanding it to come out. And then, of course, lay on of hands for healing, just as Jesus did in that passage. It's still amazing that God has entrusted us to speak in His name and do these directly. I have to pinch myself.
Praise the Lord. A woman came in to be prayed over. The cost is definitely cheaper than going to the doctors.
Well, amen. Even though she'd been to the doctors, and they'd analyzed this, they're wanting to do surgery and all, and so she's going to have them do another analysis, of course. And I'm believing they're going to find the cancer is gone.
Well, Lord, we do stand upon that belief and that promise, and I ask, Father, that the doctors stand in amazement, and they understand it's of you. In Jesus' name I ask that.
Yes. Amen. To him be the glory.
Yes.
Thank
amen.
You, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you,
amen.
Lord. We just all stand in agreement. Well, there's a lot of agreement on the radio here with us today. So let's all stand in agreement that Garcy, G-A-R-C-Y, is healed. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise God. That went out good. I felt that. Power of agreement.
Yep, power of agreement. Now, I've got a question. Have you been incorporating the, since you have, the email you've given out to, I guess it's those on your ministry that you put out talking about the cancer shield. Have you been able to, have any, luck on that where cancer shield to come down?
It's a matter of speaking to it as well. And mm-hmm. when you pray healing, that was on 60 Minutes. That was a very interesting thing they had on there, 60 Minutes, of how the cancer seems to put a shield up and therefore the immune system can't penetrate it. But they found by inserting polio germs into that shield around the cancer tumor that the immune system would then pick up on it and attack and devour the tumor.
Yeah.
So, of course, we in Jesus' name, having this amazing power to speak directly to these situations, we can do the same thing. We can break down that shield by the power of the blood in Jesus' name and then command the immune system to go to work, devouring those cancer cells.
I know that I started using that for someone I know that has a touch of skin cancer, and she has been, using natural alternative methods to go against it. And I told her as well too to start speaking against it. That's right there on it, and command that that cancer shield that's on it to come down. And I do believe that when I read that the spirit revealed to me that may have been that is the reason that it hasn't gone away completely. So
mm-hmm.
hopefully she'll stick with it and stay on top of it. Because I remember, actually, it's my mama. And we were visiting a friend of mine who is a doctor. And he was looking at that, and he was real concerned. He was a general practitioner, and his twin brother is a dermatologist. And he's like, you ought to have my brother take a look at that and cut that out. And I remember my mom told him, she said, no, I think I'll just keep treating it naturally. And he said, well, if you want to be dead in a year, keep doing it. And then later I said to her, I said, now we're going to rebuke that curse he inadvertently placed on you. And I asked the Lord to forgive my friend on that, because I don't even think he realized he did it. And I actually told him later that he needed to be careful when he spoke to his patients, because they'll take that and it'll speak that into them. So our words have power in both ways. They have, James says that the power to curse and the power to bless. So we have to be really careful with our words sometimes, so we don't speak curses upon ourselves or speak curses inadvertently upon others, you know,
so
for sure.
Sicknesses.
Yeah.
Proverbs 18:21 says that the tongue has the power of life and death and will eat the fruits thereof. So, yeah, we have to be very careful how we speak. We need to speak positives and not negatives, which the spirit world may see as a curse.
Yeah.
And run with it, with their spirits.
Especially dealing with other Christians, we need to be careful with that. So.
Yes. Yes.
So, who are our callers this evening? I think one of them is your daughter, isn't it?
Later.
Later? Okay.
Terry should be calling in shortly.
And you know, guys,
here in Oklahoma City,
the phone line's ringing. Let's just bring them right on. Hey, good evening.
Okay.
Good evening. This is Carrie Riley.
Well, good evening, Carrie. You're live on the radio with Pastor Cox and Ralph. So welcome to the program.
Well, thank you so very much.
Hi, there, Carrie.
Hi, Mr. Everett. It's good to hear your voice.
Yes. It's been so long, right?
Right.
Since we were just together yesterday.
That's right.
Yeah, well, thank you.
For a very good session.
Yes. Now, Carrie actually came in for ministry yesterday, and we were talking, and I thought some of the things she had shared would be good to share on the program tonight. But, Carrie, why don't you first tell us when you were born again, and then also how you first learned about this works of Jesus called deliverance.
All right, I would love to. Well, first of all, I was raised in a family steeped in alcoholism, but there were no Christians, and I was led to the Lord in the first grade by my teacher, and she gave me my first Bible. And then I went to different churches with my brothers. We went on our own, but I really came into relationship with the Lord when I married my children's daddy when I was 18 years old. And that's when I came into a non-denominational fellowship and began to sit under a pastor that taught me the Word. And that's when I got baptized. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit the first time when I was 10. But I didn't have any idea what it was about or anybody to explain it to me. And then it just came flowing out when I was about 18. And I went to that church for many, many years. I raised my children in it, and I had a dear friend that knew about your ministry. This is like 30 years ago when you were downtown. And I came to your, she brought me and my husband to your ministry many, many years ago. And then most recently, about 2 years ago, I came. And,
praise God.
Yes. And I have a wonderful testimony about that if you want me to share it.
For sure.
I was going through a very difficult time. I had a son that was very heavily entrenched in alcoholism, and I had just gotten despondent. He was in my home, and he was just drunk day after day, and I was just weeping on my bed, asking the Lord to take me home. And the Lord just dropped it in my mind that you had a ministry over on that little church on May on Monday nights, and I just got up. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to go, and I got up after not being at one of your ministry places for 30 years. I got up and went to the meeting, and that night I received such wonderful ministry and received deliverance from oppression and depression. And that night I went home, and my son, he said, "You are so different," and he wanted to know where I'd been, and I told him, and he told me he wanted to go. And on the next day, he was gifted to get a private counseling session with you, Everett, and he walked in a man that the demons of alcohol owned him, and he walked out a free man.
Praise God.
And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. His family just, we all just rejoiced in those wonderful months that we had with him, that he was sober and got to live life a free man.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yes. That was very powerful.
And praise the Lord that you listened to that Holy Spirit speaking with you when you were in your living room. I mean, you could have easily quenched the spirit and ignored that call. And
Too often in life, I'm afraid we do that. But that night, I knew. So I got up and did it.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. So how long was your son free then?
He was free about 17 months. Mm-hmm. And he had a terrible automobile accident. He was going somewhere to take a test for his employment. And he had prayed that morning and asked God to protect him. And he had just a massive automobile accident in which he got hit by two different trucks. And he crushed his neck. And he was just so disillusioned. For the first month or so, even though he was in horrible pain and had to have surgery and such, he was holding on. But slowly but surely, he began slipping away and felt like the Lord had abandoned him, that the Lord didn't protect him, which we know is a lie from the devil. We know that it's the devil that comes to rob and kill and destroy. But it didn't seem to matter what we told him. He just felt helpless. And so at that time, which was a full year after his deliverance at that time, he began slipping away from the Lord and little by little, you know, quit doing the things that you need to do to keep the doors closed. And he was not going to church and not really reading the Word like he used to, and he wasn't fellowshipping with anybody. And that was 7 years. Pardon?
He wasn't doing those keys for staying free.
He was not. And mm-hmm. we saw quite, you know, we saw the Word in action that if you sweep the house clean, but you don't keep it filled, that the enemy will bring a legion with him or several with him and come back, you know. And he went through a terrible time of torment. And, he just slowly was beginning to somewhat turn his heart back to the Lord. He had started going to church again, but he was so heavily addicted to alcohol by that time. And he was terribly ill with diabetes. And it was just ravaging his body. And he just had several health problems. It was like the enemy just came in and just pounded him, and he went to sleep one night and didn't wake back up.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we ministered on that yesterday, and there are mm-hmm. some prayers that we'd like to take people through to, you know, to have closure, hard as it is. I had the same experience as Carrie had. I lost a daughter when she was 18. It's been 38 years ago now. But I'm familiar with the horrible pain that comes with losing a child. And so I ministered to Carrie yesterday along those lines. And did it seem to help, Carrie?
It was so effective. In fact, out of all the things that we prayed for, I think if somebody asked me last night what was the greatest thing or the most prominent thing that happened, and I said the prayers that Everett led me through about my son and helping me to fill my hands with the feelings that I had that I hadn't even voiced to myself. I knew they were in there, but it was like I couldn't say them. I couldn't say that I was hurt and disappointed, and I wasn't able to voice those things, but yet until yesterday I was in such a safe place and I was able to do it, and when you led me through just surrendering it to the Lord and seeing him just take it from me, it just lifted such a burden and such a heartache from me.
Praise God. Well, the Holy Spirit is our comforter, and he supernaturally does that as we'll reach out, as he did for me way back 38 years ago. He did it for you, and it is a supernatural thing to have that comfort and that peace that you don't understand, but you sure take it.
Yes, that's for sure.
Well, Carrie, have you seen any changes with your the things we addressed in the deliverance part?
Well, interestingly enough, as you well know, I have a very difficult time walking due to some, what the doctors say, deterioration of my spine. And after I was with you and I left about, I think it was about 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I was on my feet and ran some errands and had the best night. I just had the best night. And even though some of that pain has returned and I've been standing against it, I felt like the Lord spoke to me that my healing would be step by step, that it wasn't going to be just instantaneously, but it was coming. I accepted healing yesterday, so I feel like it'll come to fruition.
Let's see, when we did the limb check, I was trying to remember, did you have a short leg or arm?
No, I did not.
Okay. And then we prayed over the brain stem and the C1, C2 and all.
Right.
Folk healing. Well,
and you know what's so interesting about that? The brain stem and cervical 1 and 2 have so much to do with your brain, of course, and your thoughts and the axis that holds up your head. But, you know, I noticed today I was thinking clearer. So I felt that was very effective in that case.
Yes, any pressure on that brain stem or C1 or C2, it affects both ways. Besides the nerves coming out of the brain and goes down through the body, it can cause things there. It also works in reverse, where it affects up into the brain area.
Mm-hmm. God is so far beyond wonderful, it's hard to even exclaim how great he is. He said that we were wonderfully made, and we certainly are. And I certainly felt a great relief from pressure on me that I have been carrying. And I believe that came through some of the deliverance prayers that you prayed yesterday with me.
Praise God. Well,
I don't feel that huge heaviness.
I felt like you got a Jesus overhaul, Carrie.
I did. I sure got happy, and I hadn't been happy since my boy died. Not really happy.
Well, that's our Jesus. He's in the overhaul business.
That's right.
And,
I have shared about your ministry to so many people, about the ministry of deliverance, and encouraged people to go and open their heart to it. It's just phenomenal, you know. I would dare to say there probably aren't any Christians that couldn't benefit from it.
Yes.
It's like you said, it's a Jesus overhaul. Sometimes
Amen.
We don't even realize the heavy burdens we're carrying until we get free from them.
Yes. When a person really looks at those 15 doors, and some of them you can see are very, very easy to open, it would be a very rare person this side of Jesus that hasn't done that, and spirits have come in on them. And so that's why it's so important to go through the door-closing prayer first, to get as many of those doors closed as we can before actual ministry. Well, it makes all the difference in the world. Deliverance is easy and more lasting.
Right. It's very effective, that's for sure.
That's really awesome that sharing that, Carrie, and do you have anything else to share to the listeners about deliverance that you feel the Lord is leading you to?
I do have one other thing, if you would permit me. Before I came to see you, I shared this with you when I was in the office yesterday, but I have a prayer meeting in my home on Monday morning, and my prayer partner was reading the Psalms, and we weren't praying about my son, but my son died. He had made himself a pallet on the floor in my house, in my front room. And as she was reading the 91st Psalm, and she spoke that God would hide under the shadow of his wings. And I had a vision, and the vision, I saw this gigantic white wing that was just pristine and sparkling, just in a flash. I saw it envelop my son's body and just roll him up and take him. And
wow.
Right at that time, God quickened a scripture to me, and the scripture was, love one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. And that spoke volumes to me, because I was living in fear and still carrying a little bit of that when I came yesterday. I wasn't sure. I knew my son was saved. I knew he'd been filled with the Spirit, but I kept being tormented by that scripture that drunkards will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But God gave me such assurance in that moment that his love covers a multitude of sins. And that Ty was a very loving young man. He loved his family, and he loved the Lord. And I just realized the fullness, and I don't know if a human being can realize the fullness, but how great God's love is for us. Once he claims us for his own, he is not about to let go.
Praise God. That's awesome, Terry. And what an experience to see that with your son. Wow.
Yes.
I've been reading recently a book on the near-death experiences, and there's been so many of them, and it's awesome to hear the reports of how when people die, how they immediately come right out, and they may drift around a little bit in the room, but then they go on up to be with the Lord quickly, and seeing him and talking to him, and that's the way it was with your son, I know.
It was. And what a comfort to know. I mean, God's promise is true, you know. We're absent from this body, it means present with him, and that is a hope that gives us courage and encourages us to go on, you know. And I feel like just having the opportunity to share this testimony tonight is an honor to God and a remembrance to my son, and I pray that it will help another mother be comforted and help other people to realize how vitally important it is that once you receive your deliverance, to do the things you need to do to keep it. God doesn't want any of his children ravaged by demonic activity of any kind.
Oh, that's awesome, Carrie. Are you thinking you might at some point go through our training? I think you'd make a good team leader, Carrie.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Everett. You know, I have some things going on right now that I've committed to, but when I get through there, I'm going to be praying about it, but it's something that I certainly would like to consider.
As we've seen, all Christians can do this. It's not a special gift area. It's normal Christianity, and that's why we can teach and share what we've learned. We can teach any Christian how to do this type of ministry and help the hurting people get free from these problem areas of fear and anger and rage and violent problems and all kinds of addictions.
Right.
And it just goes on and on. Most people having about 36 those problem areas. And imagine getting free of those often in one evening.
Praise God.
It runs us away.
Well, blessings to you,
Carrie. Well, thank you, Everett, so much. God bless you. I hope
thank
your birthday
you
girl
sharing.
Had a wonderful time last night.
Yes, yes, we did.
Good.
We did.
Good.
Well, God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night.
Well, Everett, I'm going to read a scripture here out of 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. And that was the scripture came to my mind because you were able to minister to Carrie in a way that I couldn't, and with that comfort, because you yourself had gone through it, and the Lord helped you, so you were able to help Carrie, and that's just an awesome working of the works of Jesus, an awesome promise in our scripture, and I was really, really touched by listening to both of you.
Well, thank you, Ralph, and you know, as we freely receive, we can freely give, And yet we can teach all Christians to do what I did with Carrie. You don't have to have had this horrible experience of losing a loved one that's close like that to learn how to help others. That prayer we use is can be taught to any Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that was a powerful testimony of the vision she's had. I've had two visions in my life that came in dreams that were similar to that. I know when my grandfather passed away, I know that he was raised as a Christian as a boy, but he had pretty much done away with church most of his adult life. And when he passed away, I was so concerned about his salvation. And I had a dream one night. And it was my grandfather talked to me in that dream, and he said, "Don't worry, son, everything will be okay."
Wow.
And then I had a dream about another person that had passed away, and I was concerned, and it was, "Don't worry, Ralph, everything's going to be okay." And I took those as you know, double witnesses that the Lord had came to me in my dream. He came to me and spoke to me in a vision that I could understand. And it really eased and comforted me at both those times in my life when I was grieving. So, it's just awesome.
Praise
our
God.
Lord. So awesome. So awesome. And I hadn't really thought about those two visions until she said that about her son. And that's just, wow, what a great testimony. What a great testimony. You know, that's what I've noticed about these people you have come on. And, you know, I know some are your team leaders, and some, you know, have gone through ministry, and some have performed ministry. But the enthusiasm that's in their voice, the lack of fear to come on the radio. I mean, this is the type of public speaking, and public speaking is one of the largest fears in the country. And well, you know, the fear, our God is not a spirit of fear. So that was something I was thinking about today as I was walking and enjoying this great weather, and was trying to get my thoughts on where I wanted to go with the show tonight if we had some time to speak. And one of those I kept thinking about was how everybody that's come on that's given a testimony, it's just, there's so much energy that none of them have that nervousness that you would expect for someone to come on a show that's it's a worldwide broadcast. And and that can make you a little nerve-wracking. I remember when I first started doing the radio programs, not just this one, some other ones, I was always so nervous before I came on. But that nervousness hasn't been there for a long time, and it definitely went away after my deliverance. I've never really had a problem with public speaking, as some do, but there was always a little nervousness. But I've even noticed it myself, that nervousness is not there. Lord, as you gave the scripture, Luke 12:12, I made sure to highlight that. I knew the scripture, but I didn't know exactly where it was. That in that hour, you know, the Holy Spirit will help you and give you the utterances you need. And it's just an awesome promise. and I've just been noticing that in the people that have been calling in and giving their testimonies over the last several months.
Amen. You can kind of, when you ask the Holy Spirit to give you what to say, then you can kind of just relax and enjoy the ride.
Yeah. And if you don't like what it was, then you don't have to, you don't have to take credit for it if you don't like it.
That's right.
So
there was I remember ministering to a woman some years ago that had a spirit of fear speaking, and her company had started sending her out to do seminars, and it was just tearing her apart. She would actually throw up. And finally came for ministry. I remember getting hold of that spirit. It ran up in her throat. I had the Bible against her throat area. As she told me later, it was kind of choking her, the demon was. But it finally came on out, and she was beautifully set free for about 6 months. And she was in Chicago getting ready to do another one of those meetings in her hotel room, getting ready to go to the meeting room downstairs. And this fear thing started hanging around, and her name was Shirley. She finally got down on her knees and just started crying out, "Lord, help me with this. I can't handle this. Do something." And the Lord, out of His grace, actually spoke to Shirley and said, "Shirley, get off of your knees, stand up, and tell that spirit of fear to go in my name." Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Shirley should have remembered that. That's very scriptural, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 16:17, and she stood up and told it to go, and sure enough, it did, and it stayed gone after that.
I believe that is that testimony in your book.
Yes, that's right. I
yes.
just put it in there. Uh-huh.
Yes, which is, so everybody remind a little plug for the book, The Supernatural Works of Jesus by Mr. Everett Cox, which we do have available at Scriptures for America. And you could also go to deliveranceusa.com, where I believe there's probably, I haven't been on there in a while. I really should look that up. I'm going to plug the website. I am not a very good host here. But I do know that it does have the ministry tools as far as being able to go through the door closing prayer. There's lots of videos on there. And I'm sure there's a link to the book there. If there's not, you can get it from Scriptures for America. Contact Richard or call him at the office. And speaking of calling in, if anyone would like to call in this evening, the call-in number is 307-745-5913 if they have a question for Mr. Cox or even maybe a testimony of their own deliverances. And we're just a short week and one day away before we'll be seeing each other in Branson this year, Everett, and I'm looking forward to you coming and talking with our ministry as far as a whole. And I anticipate that we will in the next week or two have some people from Branson calling in and giving a testimony. That's what the Lord revealed that to me today, that we would have that. At least I think He did.
Well, amen. So, I would expect that as well.
Yeah. And it is a good book. I don't have one anymore. When I came out there a few weeks ago, I purchased me another one because I always give your book away, and I end up giving it away to another gentleman who was very, very interested in it, has actually texted me back a few questions. So hopefully I'm starting a spark here in my area. So, or at least the Holy Spirit is. I'm just spreading the seeds. He does the rest. So I'll have to get me another copy of the book. Maybe I need to get more than one so I can give it away, and I'll still have mine if I need it.
Yeah, there you go, Ralph. There you go, Ralph. Well, we've got another caller. Let's. Hey, good evening, caller. Welcome to the program.
Yes, hello.
Good evening.
Marla?
Yes.
Hi, Marla. Thanks for calling. I know you're having some problems with the number and all, but I'm glad you're there. And thanks
for calling
in. Well,
I was actually listening to the, I called the wrong number and was hearing the program. And I love hearing Carrie and I even remember the deliverance that you all were referring to on the lady who was speaking. But anyway, so it was good to hear.
Yeah, well, if you would,
share how you first got introduced to this. Now, Marla, she and I are very close. She's my daughter. So we have a lot of parallel experiences in the deliverance arena. But Marla, why don't you kind of share on how you first learned about it? I know your story right off, but go ahead and tell it.
Well, I came into the program this evening, and Carrie was thanking you for your testimony, so I guess you have shared about Lori and losing her, and
yes.
Who was my older sister. And so, you know, it threw us into just the emotion of hurting so badly. And the world's ways just don't touch it. And so we were really hurting, and that day, I just praise God every day that you had a friend that said, I'm going to send some men over from my church to minister to your family. And we didn't even know what that meant. We were going to church, but we didn't know what that meant. They're going to come and minister to us. And they opened the Word. And they came in, prayed with us, and they opened the Word of God, and they said, do you know that the Holy Spirit is the Comforter? And it was just, I remember just immediately saying, he's a Comforter, because I remember growing up learning that there was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I knew to respect the Word of God, the Bible. And I knew Jesus loved the little children, but other than that, I really didn't know too much. Was very involved in my church socially, but when this happened in our family, we were thrown to a new level. And when the man said, do you know that the Holy Spirit is a Comforter? I remember thinking I was like a sponge, and I was just, the Bible says that. You know, say that to me, and they sure enough say that to me. Holy Spirit is the Comforter. And I just, like, you know, I just, please, I, how do I do that? How do I get him? You know, how do you put that into your life? And then I knew that I wanted whatever that was. So they prayed with me that day, and I think they had prayed with you the day before, if I'm not mistaken. But that day, I received Jesus into my heart as my personal Savior. I asked him to come in and, you know, just to surrender my life. And then they asked that the Holy Spirit would baptize me. And I have never been the same since. Now, does the hurt still hurt? Yes. It does. And at different times, you know, as you go through life, I find myself, you know, at special times when you know, like I just had a grandbaby, and sure enough, I wish you, you know, was here to, you know, partake in that. But what is so neat is that, you know, you can actually just say, well, I lost my train of thought.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry. Where was I, Dad?
Amen. And that's how we both, from there, once we received the Comforter, we had a desire to learn the Word like we'd never had. And we joined a little full gospel church and really got taught the scriptures like we never had before, and that little church was also doing deliverance. And how did you first have your first deliverance experience, Marla? Do you remember?
Well, I remember, you know, we couldn't get enough of the Word of God, and so we started really seeing how people were being ministered to, as we were that day, and we would sit in on some of the little deliverances that they were doing with some individuals that were in our church, and you'd see them come in, and they looked so bogged down and heavy, and sad, and then I think as a teenager, which is during this time of my life, I was a teenager, and I would see everyone leave just very light, smiles on their faces, feeling so free, and, you know, I don't know, it was just a beautiful thing. And so it was very encouraging when you see the Word at work. And, of course, the Word says that,
yes,
you know, His Word does not return void. And
amen.
And so we saw the power in the name of Jesus, and people would be set free. And it just encourages you. Well, you want to go shout it from the rooftop.
You started bringing a number of your friends that had problems, I remember, and we ministered to quite a few, like Allie and other ones.
Many. All through college and mm-hmm. Well, to this day, I mean, you know, it isn't too far into your life, and you live life long enough, you have somebody to forgive, which most of us don't take the time out to truly, you know, just do that. And take the time to search and say, you know what, I don't think I want this in my life. And so you're closing that door. We learned to close those doors and how important that was. And
yes.
So, you know, you live life long enough and you've got people to forgive and you have people that have offended you and you've got to release those things. Forgiving yourself is equally as important. And so it's a beautiful thing to learn, and then you want to just shout it and tell the whole world what He did for us at the cross, and to proclaim His name in freedom.
We went on to I've ministered done the 56 of the banquets at Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship through the 80s and 90s. I get some in the 70s. But anyway, Marla went on a number of those trips. That's when I had an aircraft, and we flew to a lot of them. And Marla would help me minister right there in the prayer line. So we've had some interesting experiences.
And we were growing at the time, you know, in the Lord ourselves.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know to do a door-closing prayer in those earlier years, and so we had a lot of manifestations take place in these banquet settings. You know, they'd had a nice mortgage banker come to share his testimony, but I would have an altar. I'd tell about deliverance as well, salvation, deliverance, and healing. Baptism of the Holy Spirit was speaking in tongues, and then I'd have an altar call for all that. People would come forward, and Marla would often help me minister there. Yeah, we sometimes have outcries right there in those banquet rooms, and sometimes those were in cafeterias, you know, the meeting room. we saw a lot of fireworks back then. We don't see that much today because we know how to prepare the people so much better to where there seldom are outcries, and it's nice and orderly ministry. They just feel them come out, which is... I've seen all the heavy manifestations I need to see. Well, Marla, do you have anything else to share that the Lord would lead you of... tell the listeners about this works of Jesus?
Well, I think as I was praying about being on this evening, if I have one thing to say to everyone, is that, you know, let's live free. He says, choose life or death, blessings or cursings. Well, I'm going to choose life. And he says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will be glad in it. Rejoice and be glad in it.
And one of the things that I think that we have to stop in our busy world is to just stop in the evenings when you lay your head on your pillow and just absolutely, you know, surrender the day, say, Lord, I want to be more like you. Help me. Holy Spirit, He's our guide, so let's ask Him. Let's invite Him into our days, give Him the day, and, you know, if you've goofed, which we all do, you just absolutely say, I surrender this day, and I'm so sorry I did these things. I'll make it right where you need to make it right, and you ask God to forgive you, and you ask the person to forgive you, whether they're going to forgive you or not. You have to go ahead and confess that and say, just please forgive me, you know, for the way I reacted, what I said, whatever. Because we all live life, and we all goof.
Yes.
But we have the blood of Jesus to go back to and to start afresh and anew with mercies every day. And it's something called the hope of glory that, you know, we can shine and be more like Him tomorrow. I'm planning on being more like Jesus tomorrow than I was today. And I'm going to put that effort forward and pick up that cross and follow Him. And that's victory. Well, that's success.
Everett, amen. Everett, Marla, yes. I'm sorry, but we're about out of time. So.
Yep. I tell you, Ralph, I'm ready to call Todd, and let's just roll another hour if I could, but I couldn't get it done that fast. But yes, Miss Marla, thank you so much. It's been encouraging to me. Ralph and I are texting, and it's praise the Lord. It is encouraging to us here at this ministry to hear how Jesus Christ has worked in your life and the testimony you give. Thank you so much for doing that.
You bet. I love it.
Thank you so much. Amen.
Thank you, Marla.
Amen.
God bless, and I'll see you gentlemen next week.
Amen. That's right. Guys, thanks for joining us, and yeah, we'll head out of here, and we'll see you in Branson, not this weekend, but next. See you then, guys.
Amen.
God bless
you. Bye-bye.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing in, till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope is September morn, when the towers fell and all our hearts were torn, like the story of the man from Galilee, they were as innocent as could be when the darkness came to take our hope away, away. But hope is alive.